Welcome to the Fifth Quarter Podcast. I'm Rick Samprin. After another loss, Tiger Cats fans are calling for change. The Fifth Quarter Podcast begins now.
We've been talking Tiger Cats football for over 50 years. Welcome to the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Hello, football fans in Hamilton from coast to coast and around the world. This is the Fifth Quarter brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with you. Ugh. Oof. No. Many more non-expletive-related reactions that we are all offering to our radios and TVs and those holding their phones waiting to get on the Fifth Quarter at 905-645-3221, *9900 on your mobile device. It was a tale of two halves, and one was okay, the other was fugly. You know, okay first half by the offense, good first half by the defense. Hamilton special teams were better than Montreal special teams in the first half. And in saying all that, after winning, at least what I think, after winning all three phases of the game in the first half, it's only 11-3. And then the second half rolls around, and it is, well, you can use whatever word you want as long as it's clean when you come on here on air. I'm going to use, what should I choose? I'm going to use debacle. It was a debacle on the offensive side of the ball. To record one first down in the second half of this football game is horrendous, abysmal, atrocious, god-awful, unacceptable, as Coach O called it in the postgame. Embarrassing, quote-unquote. He also added, the execution wasn't professional. Not good enough. Not even close. Hamilton getting demolished in the second half. 24-3 in the second half. That is just, as I said, unacceptable of a pro football team. The roughing the punter penalty, we can debate whether that was indeed a penalty. I think that's going to be called 99 times out of 100. There were a couple of dub penalties tonight, as there usually are when the Ticats play. And I'll go back to that one first down in the second half. Just terrible. Eight games in, this Ticats team has three wins, very reminiscent of where they were last year. Eight games in, they've won three. How can this team turn this season around? Can this team, in its current form, turn this season around? I say, and I think a lot of you out there agree, that this team, number one, needs to get healthy, and of course at the most important position, but we're not going to see Bo Levi Mitchell, nor will we see Matthew Schultz for a few more weeks. Both of them probably not before Labor Day. And they still have games against Edmonton coming up, and then BC, and then Labor Day against the East Division leading Argonauts. And who knows what's going to happen during the bye week. Nothing happened during the first bye week. This team was sub-500. Nothing happened. Really, I mean, nothing happened. At 3-5, with bye week number two at hand, with a game against Edmonton coming up at home, in which Darren Flutie is going to go up on the Ticats Wall of Honor, will there be a change? I'm suggesting there should. Something's got to give. This team needs a spark. Tell me I'm crazy that this team doesn't need a spark. Defensively, I thought they were good tonight. Offensively, not nearly good enough, especially in the second half. All right, that's my say. 27-14 the final. Montreal beating Hamilton. The Alouettes now 4-3. The Tiger Cats, as I mentioned, 3-5. The next game coming up after the bye, August 17th. That's a Thursday night against the Elks. 905-645-3221, *9900 on your mobile device. Oh, by the way, player of the game. Should I even choose someone for player of the game? You know who I'm going to choose? He was at least effective when he did get the ball, and that was James Butler. 9 carries, 51 yards, 4-yard touchdown in the second quarter. He led everyone on the field with 8 receptions in the game for 61 yards. He came to play. I'll give an honorable mention to Simone Lawrence, who I thought played a pretty good game. 11 tackles, 1 sack. Defense was on the field for way too long, especially in the second half. So my player of the game, James Butler. Who's yours? 905-645-3221, *9900 on your cell phone. We're broadcasting live on CHML's Facebook page, where Scott says, is this finally the nail in Condell's coffin? I think this is a spark. This would be a spark. You change offensive coordinators, your offense is sluggish. 14 points this week, 16 points last week. You're not going to win many games scoring sub 20 points. The defense is not that good. It's good, but not that good. Not best of all time in the CFL good. Not even close. You can also hit me up on email, rick@900chml.com. Messages already streaming in. And on the text line, 905-645-3221. Dave in Hamilton has been waiting patiently. Dave, welcome to the Fifth Quarter.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm steamed, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. Listen, I agree with you. You hit the nail on the head, but we've been screaming about this. We're in the city that runs out quarterbacks at an alarming rate, but we hang on to a OC for almost a decade with just, you know, missed 2 years there. And when are we going to, like, change coordinators? And Butler, I agree, Butler was your best player in the first half. He was getting touches, running the ball effectively, short passes getting to him. Second half, one first down. And where were the touches for Butler? And it wasn't that we were behind. We were ahead. And then we, you know, we were behind by 6. Then ultimately 14 there. But you got a lead at halftime. You protect the lead at halftime. You were running good in the first half. Butler was arguably your best player. How come we didn't give him the ball?
It's a great question.
So, and this is a coordinator that's never in his career had a 1,000-yard back, not even C.J. Gable. And then when he got traded, oh, he's old, he's injured, send him to Edmonton. The first season, he rips off 1,400 yards. This is a guy that's incapable of calling and establishing a solid, consistent run game, which will help out the passing. And I would argue Taylor Powell looked good in the first half. He looked comfortable in the pocket. He made some incredible throws. Missed a couple throws by just... But I don't think it's because he's third string and because both threw 5 picks. I think this lands at the play caller's feet. Are we just willing to stick with this year after year after year after year, especially when you got Milanovic as a consultant? Last year you had Kahari Jones as a consultant. If he was that great of an offensive coordinator, we wouldn't have to keep having these consultants on the staff behind the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, let's not forget Jim Barker was a consultant last year too. And
yeah, you know, like the guy needs help. And when you hear the players talk, even the after game show with, you know, Fantuz and Tasker, I get it. Everybody loves the guy. He sounds like a terrific human being. But you're in a business that is judged on wins and losses. So as nice as he is, find him another job within the organization if he would like to accept it. But you got to move on and get somebody in here with an exciting offense and somebody that knows how to play, you know, dual threat. We got to run. We got to pass. You got to be multifaceted. You just can't pass, pass, pass. And then I'll leave you one last comment, Rick. On 3rd and 14, yeah, we got to go for it. We don't throw a screen pass. We don't throw a pass more than 14 yards. We don't even throw a hitch pass out in the flats. We just throw a pass out in the flats, 2-yard pass out in the flats to Butler. And what, he's going to make three guys miss and he's going to run for another 12 yards? What's the point of even doing that? You need 3 and 14. You don't throw a two-yard pass to a guy on the flats and expect for him to break 2-3 tackles and get 14.
And, we've seen that.
14
and
or more yards.
And we've seen it time and time again. So are you going with Butler with your player of the game?
I love Butler, but I'm going to shout out to a fan, Phil Ski, hard hat Phil. Sits at the center stripe, right in first row. He shows him on TV all the time. He's hyped no matter we're winning and losing and trying to get the crowd going.
That's a great pick. Dave, appreciate the call. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. Thanks.
905-645-3221 is the number to call, *9900. You can also text 905-645-3221. Your thoughts on tonight's Ticats loss, 27-14 at the hands of the Montreal Alouettes. Mark on the phone. Mark, welcome to the fifth quarter.
How are you, Rick?
I'm miffed. I'm puzzled, perplexed. How are you?
I'm pissed, buddy.
yeah. Join the club, yeah.
So, like, I was giving it to the players at the end of the game. They suck. They flat out suck. I forget what it was. The second quarter, Powell is second down, and we're in the red zone, and he slides instead of put his head down and try to bowl his way into the end zone to get a touchdown. That would have put us up by 2 scores. But no, we had to slide. So I just think that we're a bunch of chumps, and we ain't even going to make the playoffs. So I'm pissed off.
Yeah, hey, I get it. I'm hearing you. Who is your player of the game? Who stood out to you tonight?
No one. Well, okay, that's a lie. James Butler, he played pretty decent. So, but other than that, they're all a bunch of chumps.
Do you expect any changes to be made this bye week?
You know what? I thought Tommy Condell, his offense brought us to 4 cups. He's got to go. Washington, our defense played pretty decent. They played pretty decent last week as well. Our offense, we need Scott Milanovic. How about get him in there and see what he can do?
I think this offense needs a spark. There's no doubt about it. Mark, appreciate you holding on. And for the comments, enjoy the long weekend.
Thanks. You too, man.
Mark is PO'd. As you heard, how do you feel? 905-645-3221, *9900 on your cell phone. Email from Randy, rick@900chml.com. Good evening, Rick. This game was in Hamilton's favor in the first half. With the exception of the James Butler touchdown, this offense was doing nothing in the third and the start of the fourth. Still too many costly penalties for the Tiger Cats. Penalties are ruining this team. Every game, too many overthrown or drop balls, hang around, being played. The offensive play calls for Hamilton were mostly inefficient, and number zero for Montreal picking off number zero at the line did not help. Where was Duke Williams? Not much productivity all around. We can't sing the victory song. My player of the game for the Cats is the Hamilton training and medical staff, but nothing else worth the pick. A stinky, nasty Saturday, now a bye week to reflect some good news in under 18 OSFL football. The junior Hamilton Tiger Cats defeated Essex to win the AAA 2023 Provincial Championship. Hello, Merlot and Pinot Noir. Good night, Rick. Have a nice Sunday. Randy Oakville. That's Pinot Noir. 905-645-3221, *9900. One more call before we go to break. Crazy Habs fan calling into the fifth quarter. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Rick. How are you?
I am
perplexed.
Yeah. I know. I'm trying to search for words. It's not a good feeling tonight.
You know what? Everybody's saying the same thing that I'm going to say. It's time for Tommy Condell to go. Plain and simple. You had a chance with Kahari Jones last year. You should have let him go last year. Now you bring Scott in. Okay. Give him the job and get rid of Tommy Condell. Obviously, we don't have an offense. I can't remember since the last time we had a great offense. We're too predictable.
And, well, I mean, that's just the start of it. They're not good in the red zone. They've not been good in the red zone all year. They take dumb penalties at the absolute worst times. They are a team...
I'm going to stop you there for
a second. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it was 21-14. Montreal gets the turnover. The very next play, what did they do? They went for the end zone. We get the turnover at the beginning of the third quarter. What does Tommy Condell do? He runs the ball. We don't go for the throat. We don't have a deep threat. We don't use White enough. We don't use Duke Williams enough. Our offensive line can't obviously block on run plays. Like, I'm just lost for words.
Well, you're filling the gaps pretty good here, Crazy Abs fan. We'll let you go, but I want your player of the game.
Butler.
James Butler. Good choice. Appreciate the call. Enjoy the long weekend.
You too.
That leaves room for you at 905-645-3221, *9900. You can comment on CHML's Facebook page. More comments rolling in. On Twitter, at Rick Samprin, at AM900CHML. Use the hashtag fifth quarter. Send me a text at 905-645-3221 or call in 905-645-3221, *9900 on your cell phone. More of the fifth quarter brought to you by Eastgate Ford right here on 900CHML.
This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML.
Taylor Powell, high snap, fakes the pitch, hands it off. James Butler runs up the middle. Touchdown, Tiger Cats! James Butler is team-leading fourth touchdown of the season. The Tiger Cats score first, and it is the touchdown they needed.
Well, it was a good start for the Ticats. They had led 7-0, and they were up 11-3 at halftime, 14-3 early in the third quarter. Well, then that was it. It was all Montreal after that. 24 unanswered points to end the game. Hamilton with one, count them, one first down in the second half as Montreal leaves town with a 27-14 win. They're now 4-3, sole possession of second place in the CFL's East Division. The Cats now 3-5 and in danger of falling to last place in the East if Ottawa beats the Rough Riders in Saskatchewan tomorrow. We shall see that. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock. Heard the highlight from James Butler, my player of the game. Also, a couple of other votes for player of the game. He had 9 carries, 51 yards, and a TD. A game-high 8 catches for 61 yards. By the way, Taylor Powell, 20 of 31 for 202 yards passing, 2 interceptions. He also had 4 carries for 29 yards. By comparison, Cody Fajardo, who's now 5-1 all-time against the Ticats, was 19 of 25 tonight, 318 yards, 1 TD, 2 interceptions, both by Richard Leonard in the first quarter. And William Standback had 19 carries for 106 yards as Montreal picks up a big 2 points in the East Division standings. 905-645-3221, that's the number to call or text your thoughts on tonight's game. Vote for your player of the game. You can email me, Rick at 900CHML.com. Got an email from Philly Filski, who I think was Mark's player of the game. Well, the Ticats played a decent first half, but fell apart like a cheap suitcase in the second. You let a team hang around with, and that's what happens. Once again, stupid penalties were part of this team's demise. Does this not sound like a broken record? I've said it once, I'll say it again. Orlando Steinauer needs to be shown the door. He's been with this team since 2013 in some capacity, except 2017 when he was at Fresno State, and of course lost the title game, and he's done nothing but fail miserably with this team. And no, I don't count the botched 2019 and 2021 Grey Cup appearances because nobody remembers a loser. You want to save the season? Fire Steinauer. By the way, one interesting stat that I would like to know, have the Tiger Cats ever beaten Cody Fajardo? Whether he played for Toronto, BC, Saskatchewan, or now Montreal, I bet the answer is no. Doesn't seem like that anyway. As always, keep up the good show. That email from Philly Filski. So yeah, as I just mentioned, Cody Fajardo 5-1 against the Tiger Cats all time. I'll get to a couple of texts before we go back to the phone. This one coming in from Jeff. Lazy since he got his big raise in reference to Tim White. Tim White, a non-factor tonight again. 2 catches, 21 yards. Someone else asked, where was Duke Williams? 1 reception tonight for Duke Williams for 13 yards. Just not good enough. Not good enough at all. RH on Twitter, if Condell stays, we riot. Hashtag fifth quarter. N-Dub says clear house. An FM fan says Tommy Condell has to go. We can't even score more than one TD in a game. Offensive is so predictable. Tim White can't catch a ball if his life depended on it. Player of the game, Simone Lawrence. Good call on the Simone Lawrence player of the game. He had a good game tonight. 11 tackles, one sack tonight for Simone Lawrence. All right, back to the phones, waiting patiently with Peter. Peter, you were at the game. How are you tonight?
How are we tonight? Well, good old Debbie Double D's and I had an enjoyable half game. Not so much the second half of the game.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, you know, if you're not coming out to these Tiger Cat football games on a beautiful night like tonight, you're really missing out on having some fun. And I would certainly encourage everybody listening to make the effort to come out because it's a great time. What I did want to say is I thought that our third string quarterback, Taylor Powell, got off to a very snappy and impressive start. He made some really great throws, and this guy has potential. It all kind of fell apart in the second half, but I don't think he is the guy to blame at all. And I liked what I saw the first part. The big question I have, and what I thought was the turning point of the game, was in the northwest corner of the field down on the 1 yard line. There was a long pass, and Steinauer threw out the red flag to challenge the call on the field, which was an incomplete pass. It looked to all of us watching the replay and who saw it live that it was definitely pass interference. And we were all amazed and angered when the official said that the ruling on the field stood. It was an incomplete pass. I can't wrap my head around that one. And I think that if we had got the ball first down and 1 yard to go and we'd scored a touchdown, it would have been a completely different game. So what's you guys' take on that?
Well, my take on that was I initially thought it was pass interference. And some people in the press box were intimating that perhaps, and I think it was Terry Godwin on the play, leaned into the defensive back and thus, I guess, forced the pass interference, I guess, thought. I to be honest, I don't know what pass interference is anymore. Like, if you hinder a player's ability to make a catch, that to me is pass interference. And Terry Godwin's right arm was inaccessible because it was being interfered with. I'm not sure what they're thinking.
Okay, well, I was hoping for a better answer than that because we were all wondering the same thing on the field.
Well, yeah, no, I thought it was pass interference. I mean, and honest to God, I thought it was going to go the Ticats' way. They would have the ball on the one and, you know, they would punch it in. And I was a little bit surprised that it was not.
What did the guys on TV say? What was sort of the overall take on it?
Well, I don't listen to the guys on TV during the game, unfortunately. I can't.
Yeah.
Who's all your player of the game today, Peter?
Good old Richard Leonard with two interceptions. He looked really good.
Absolutely. Peter, thanks for the call. Have a great long weekend. Don is on the phone. And now on the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford. Don, how are you?
Hi there. Just can't understand, you know, this is our year to have the Grey Cup here. And I don't know how we could put an offense together like this without any running game. I think it makes us the easiest team in the league to defend. And then if you add to that a quarterback that can't run, and I'm not saying this about the kid that played today. I'm just saying that about, you know, the idea that we went out and got Bo Levi Mitchell. He can't run. And I think to have a successful offense, you need to have a good throwing quarterback, a quarterback who can run, and you have to have a running back. And I how many fancy ways can you throw a pass? I mean, I think Tommy Condell has invented every one of them. But you still got to have a running game. This is the CFL. How do you keep a defense off balance if you're constantly throwing the ball?
You know what? And I thought they ran the ball pretty well in the first half. But well, second half, everything disappeared in the second half.
Yeah. It's just the games that I've watched, it just seems that we seem to be very easy to defense because we don't seem to have a consistent running game. And if you look at the teams, like take Montreal, for example. I mean, number 31, if they didn't have him tonight, Stambeck, he keeps the defense honest. And I think that's what we're lacking. Just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I can't argue with that at all. Who is your player of the game tonight?
I would say Butler.
All right, another vote for James Butler. Don, I appreciate your call. Enjoy the long weekend.
Thank you.
And is another space for you open with Don's exit as he votes for Butler, who's now up to 4 votes for player of the game. Who is your player of the game? Call me now, 905-645-3221, *9900 on your smartphone. Let's go to CHML's Facebook page, where lots of people are tuning in and commenting as well. Gordy says, bye week, if anything is going to happen, it's now. Mark Washington defense played lights out in the first half, but can't play the whole second half. Stanback kept hammering and finally broke through. A professional football team does not let an 11-15 record in the last season and a half stand without someone going. I don't get it. Condell won a Grey Cup on a 9-9 Toronto team in which Bo threw the game away. I would love to see Milanovic run the offense. Player of the game, Simone, heart and soul. Hard to see when he knows the 15-3 2019 team was his team of destiny and they played their worst game in the Grey Cup. Gordy goes on to say, it will be interesting to see the end of the season. Could still see a 9-9 team. Bo has to come back and run the table for the last 4-ish games. Stephen also saying player of the game, Richard Leonard. He actually wrote Richard Sherman, but I think he means Richard Leonard. Richard Sherman no longer plays the sport of football. 905-645-3221, *9900 on your mobile device. You can send me an email, rick@900chml.com. Your thoughts on tonight's game, vote for your player of the game. Use the hashtag fifth quarter if you're on Twitter, @AM900CHML, @RickZamprin. Bill on Twitter says, Rick, this may be my lowest point as a lifelong Ticats fan. I am sick of watching the same crap week after week. I don't care about injuries anymore. Is this professional football or not? This coaching staff gets out-schemed in every phase. Caretaker Bob owes us an apology. He goes on to say, because I tweeted him saying, worse than the 60-1 debacle against Calgary. Remember that? That was the most epic fifth quarter of all time. Bill says, lower than the 1-15 season. It was actually 1-17, but I get it. But it isn't strange that we're comparing points of ineptitude. The fans of other teams have moments of victory and achievement to reminisce about. When do Ticats fans get something to cheer about? Well, we have to think all the way back to 1999. That's too long ago. Before our next break, we have Fred, Dave, Kyle, number one Habs fan. We're going to get to you coming up after the commercial break here on the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML.
It's where Ticats fans come together. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML.
Taylor Powell going to pass, stays in the pocket. That's bad, and it's up in the air. It's intercepted. It's intercepted by Sean Lemon. Now he's trying to backtrack, and David Beard puts the bear hug on him. And Lemon was clearly trying to make something happen. He started running the wrong way.
Doing his best Chandler Worthy impression there.
One of two interceptions of Taylor Powell tonight as Montreal walks away with a 27-14 win against the Tiger Cats. Hamilton slipping to 3-5 as they head into their second bye week of the season. Montreal in sole possession of second place after the victory. They're now 4-3 on the year. Hamilton, as I mentioned, in the bye week, they will next play Thursday, August 17th as they host the Edmonton Elks. 7:30 kickoff. Our pregame show will begin at 6:30, and of course we'll be on the air in and around 11 o'clock with the fifth quarter, which is brought to you by Eastgate Ford. Got an email from Stephen in Penticton, BC. The email address, by the way, rick@900chml.com. Greetings, Rick. Well, another loss. I have followed this team for 60 years, and I have to pull the plug on Coach O and Condell. We all know how mellow Bob Young is, but since Mitchell does not have the stones to dump these two fools, Bob had better step in and do so. We all bleed black and gold, and all our worlds stop on game day to cheer for our Cats. That's a big deal to a hell of a lot of people, including me. This season is over. Our guys, the players, this is not on them. This is on the head coach, DC, period. There is no point on waiting until next year to rebuild on coaching. It's over, folks. Cheers, Stephen in Penticton, BC. Do you agree? Do you think this season is done? I can't say it's done. The CFL season, as we know, is it's a bloody marathon. This season goes on like forever. So I don't think it's over. I think there's certainly work to do. There's no doubt about that. You can send me an email, rick@900chml, to explain your thought process when you dissect this game and what do you think this team needs to do. Do you expect big changes in the bye? I say there's got to be a change. This team needs a spark. It is clear. It is clear this team needs a spark. Jeff on our text line at 905-645-3221. Jeff says, hey, Rick, for everybody calling for Tommy Condell to get fired, I don't disagree. This offense could use a good shakeup. Unfortunately, it's just not as simple as it sounds. Scott Milanovich is a part-time consultant who I doubt would or could afford to pay enough money to come up here and be our OC. It's not like he's kicking around the halls of Tim Hortons Field just looking for something to do. Not only that, there aren't many suitable replacements, if any, available if we were to fire Tommy. I think we're stuck with him until the offseason anyway. Jeff in Edmonton, he says his player of the game is James Butler. I think you can absolutely make any change you want during the season. And if it is Scott Milanovich, he's been an OC in this league. He's been a head coach in this league. He's won the Grey Cup as a head coach in this league. They have the playbook. They have the terminology. That doesn't have to change. How you execute that playbook has to change. Let's look at the playbook through a fresh lens. And as the next 10 games occur, we can add some new wrinkles to it. It is as easy as that. Milanovich is already on the payroll. Give him a little bit of bump, put him in as the OC. Let's see what he can do. One more text before we go back to the phones. Hi, Rick, it's Chris. I hope you're well, considering. This game defines the terms choke, anemic, and folding like lawn chairs. Most lifeless second stanza I have ever witnessed. Star of the game, Ticats defense, for being so long on the field and being solid. Otherwise, it might have been a total blowout. Chris, thank you for the text at 905-645-3221. Use that same number to call in on the fifth quarter. Fred has called in on the fifth quarter. Fred, good evening.
Good evening. I would like to say three things to the owner of this club. The playbook that they've had has been the same playbook for over 20 years. It hasn't been changed since Angelo Mosca played.
That's a heck of a lot more than 20 years ago.
Well, more than 20 years ago, the book is still the same. It's too easy to figure out. That's why the other teams can catch the ball and whatever. The other thing is, they got to get rid of this coach, and they got to get rid of the whole team and start fresh. Just like that guy says, year is over. We got to start fresh. These guys are not even going to make it to the Grey Cup. Tim Ball Clemens, he's going to clean up again this year the way he's playing with his team. And to me, the Tiger Cats, like I say, have got to have a big change. Maybe even the owner's got to go. I don't know, but they need something change here. Because this is the same bull every year. Okay?
I hear you, Fred. Do you have a player of the game tonight?
Not really, because they played terrible. I wouldn't pay them for tonight's game.
Okay. Well said. Thank you, Fred. Enjoy the long weekend.
Okay.
905-645-3221. Fred just wants to entirely clean the house. Heave-ho everyone off the boat. Or out of the Ticats lair. Let's not use boat references on this show. Jordan from Stony Creek on our text line. I think the entire organization takes for granted the fact that tickets will always be bought despite putting a poor product on the field year after year. At what point do they smarten up and make big decisions to shake up the team and try and push things in the right direction? I'm tired of spending thousands of dollars over the years on season's tickets. All to have my heart ripped out of my chest year after year. Enough is enough. Perhaps the only way to get the management to smarten up is to leave a multitude of empty seats at Tim Hortons Field. Thank you. That is Jordan in Stony Creek. By the way, attendance tonight, 21,467. 905-645-3221, star 9900 on your cell. Dave in Edna, New York. Dave, good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call, Rick. Rick, I just wondered, whatever became of Jeff Matthews?
Whatever became of Jeff Matthews? To be honest, I don't know. I'm not sure where Jeff Matthews is right now. Why do you ask?
Okay, because I lived near Cornell University, and he used to be quarterback there.
Okay.
And I just wondered whatever became of him. I think he was with the Ticats about 3 or 4 seasons ago.
Listen, can he suit up for this Ticats team? We need a spark.
Yes. Okay, Rick, thank you.
Okay, have a great day. If anyone knows where Jeff Matthews is, let Dave know. Kyle in Hamilton. Kyle, welcome to the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford. How are you?
Oh, like, I'm eating my feelings. I have gut rot. It's terrible. I hate it. I hate watching this team. I'm with everybody else. I guess we'll start with my player of the game, is Butler. And the reason I say that is because as soon as Montreal keyed on him, that was the end of that. We had zero offense once Montreal figured out, hey, zero in on Butler. Powell can't do anything with the ball otherwise, or, you know, Condell's not going to call anything with any imagination anyway. I want to qualify saying, like everyone's saying, Tommy Condell needs to go. I agree completely. But I want to give a perfect example of why. When we took the 2 procedure penalties and ended up being 2nd and 20 in the first half, which, by the way, that many procedure penalties in your own barn is unforgivable. That's coaching. But when we took those 2 penalties and we're backed up 2nd and 20, I turned and I actually said, this is going to be a pick. They're begging them. This is going to be a pick. We need to run this ball. Eat it on 2nd and 20. You've got a rookie quarterback in there. In that situation, eat the ball, kick it downfield, flip the field on Montreal. That's the sort of bad coaching. This coaching staff, Condell in particular, but Steinauer as well, it bleeds down from Coach O. He's the head coach. He's the president. He's the guy at the top. So everything else bleeds down from him. He's got to take responsibility and accountability, which he never does. This is a soft team because of him. But that's the kind of thing that the coaching staff does. They make gambling calls when they shouldn't make a gamble, and they don't gamble when they should. It's beyond bad penalties. Sure, there's bad penalties, and that's bad coaching. And I couldn't agree with what you said more. Keep the playbook, but put a few new wrinkles in it and execute the playbook. These are not bad players. If you look at the talent we have on the field, year after year, players leave Hamilton, go somewhere else, and end up doing exceptionally well in another city. That's not coincidence. This is a terrible coaching staff. Together, they are not good. There's no other way to look at it. Now, I also agree with the caller that said you can't just fire the entire staff mid-season. That doesn't make any sense either. Financially, it doesn't make any sense. And especially when Steinauer's contract is up at the end of the year, fine, let him go then. But I am all for Milanovic coming in just to give us something, just to give fans some sort of, okay, fine, there's an acknowledgement, there's accountability from someone at the top that something needs to be done with the coaching staff. I don't know how else to say it. I don't know how many more fans can say it in any other way. Like, I feel like apathy is coming in to fans who are very passionate. I mean, I still have some passion. I'm still angry enough to call. I'm still angry enough to get an upset stomach after games. But I have friends that are like, I didn't even watch tonight. I know somebody with season tickets that doesn't even go. Pays for season tickets and doesn't even go. Because he's like, yeah, what's the point? This franchise is in trouble if they don't do something. It's more than the offense that needs a spark. It's the city that needs a spark. And I don't agree with you that the season is not lost at this point. There is nothing to suggest this team is going to do anything. We got away with murder last week against Ottawa. We should not have won that game. We should not have won that game. This team is in a lot of trouble, and it goes beyond Tommy Condell. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Kyle. Great call. I will say this, you know, with 10 games left, if this team goes 500 down the stretch, that's 8 wins. I think that gets them in. At this point, that's a big if. That is a big if. One more call before we go to break. It's number one Habs fan. Earlier in the night, we had crazy Habs fan, and we have number one Habs fan. Good evening.
Hey, buddy, it's your pal Manny.
Hey!
I just have to change the moniker a little bit because the other one, I'm a huge Habs fan, and the other one was crazy Habs fan. And this kind of ties in, actually, the Habs to what I'm going to say or talk about. So the team doesn't have Rick, as far as I can see. The team doesn't have enough quality players, enough depth on the team to begin with, okay? And they've been injury prone now for as long as I can remember, but certainly the last 3 or 4 years. There's always, and it's usually been our quarterbacks, there's always somebody going down. You know, Wynn hasn't played the whole year. What a difference he would make there on the team on defensive line. You can go on and on. So, you know, and going back to my beloved Habs there. So they've changed management the last couple of years. They got an up-and-coming team, a young team. They're in a rebuild stage. One of the things that maybe the Ticats management needs to look at is, and this is what Montreal did in the offseason, as much as they, you know, trying to get drafting the right players and keeping the young players like Nick Suzuki on board and Cole Caulfield. But what they also did was, before even that happened, they said they were injury, always seem to be injury problems, that team, you know, Gallagher and Carey Price, up and down the list. They actually looked into and got a whole new medical and conditioning staff. And I'm starting to think that maybe there's something there with the Ticats medical or conditioning staff that has a little bit more to do with their injuries year in, year out, that we're not really looking at. Now, it's not going to necessarily help us this year much, but certainly going forward, because yes, every team has injuries, of course. Every team are going to have injuries. But it just seems that when we have them, it's not one or two games or three games and you're back on. It's an extended period of time. So maybe there's something more into this than just bad luck.
It's an interesting suggestion. I'll say this. The Ticats training staff, there's been a lot of turnover over the years with these individuals. And whether it is a built-in kind of regimen that they have that's not been working or doesn't get players back on the field in time, or it's just, you know, a coincidence that it just keeps happening to this team that players are not only hurt, but hurt for a long time, it's a big head scratcher. I have not been able to figure that one out.
Yeah.
Who's your player of the game tonight?
Oh, my player of the game, I would probably say, I'm going to say Powell because, you know, it's a young kid going into, you know, pressure, really a second start, I guess. And I mean, he's playing from what he's like. The playbook is not his. Like, well, he's playing off the playbook, but somebody else has given him their place. So you can't really, you know, if he's throwing on second and long and it's a six yard dig route. I mean, you can't really blame the young man. So I think he did the best he could under the circumstances.
All right, great pick. Crazy Habs fan, number one Habs fan, thanks for the call.
Okay, buddy.
That is Manny, who makes his exit and room for you on the fifth quarter. When we come back, we have Michael, we have Corey, we have Karen, we have Sue, and we might just go a little bit longer than 11:30, more of a heads up to producer Tom than anyone else, because I want to take everyone's call on the show here on the fifth quarter. It's brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
The most entertaining, unfiltered, and passionate post-game show in Canada. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Hamilton's taken 10 penalties for 88 yards. That one stings. They move up to the Hamilton 37, the Alouettes do. Fajardo has an open receiver behind coverage. It's complete, and it's a touchdown for the Alouettes. Regis Sibasu. And a flag flies after the play. The Alouettes have come alive in the fourth quarter.
Came alive in the second half, outscoring Hamilton 24-3. The Tiger Cats with one first down in the second half. They lose 27-14 against the Alouettes, who are now 4-3 on the season. Hamilton slipping to 3-5. They enter the bye week on a downer again. They will next play August 17th against the Elks at Tim Hortons Field in a game in which Ticats legend Darren Flutie will be added to the Ticats Wall of Honor. Your thoughts on tonight's game? Vote for your player of the game. You can call or text 905-645-3221. Email rick@900chml.com. You can head over to the Twitterverse or the Xverse, I guess, at AM900CHML, at Rick Samprin. Use the hashtag fifth quarter. We're also on CHML's Facebook page as well. You can watch live and comment there as well. David on Twitter says, player of the game are the fans who continually put up with mediocre play. I hope the Argos win the cup in Hamilton, and maybe, just maybe, the OC is finished and the head coach can stop treading water. You can have your say on the Twitter feed at Rick Samprin, at AM900CHML. Got a text from Dave in Hamilton. Where's the GM in all this? Scott Mitchell, why is he not accountable for the signings and the product on the field? In the NHL or MLB, he'd be gone after 5 years of this. Well, as we know, the top dog is Orlando Steinauer, head coach, president of football operations. Drew Alamang is one of the assistant GMs. There's actually three assistant GMs. Spencer Zimmerman, also an assistant GM, as is Ed Hervey. A lot of fingers in the cookie jar. No one is able to grab the big, juicy, tasty cookie. I guess it wouldn't be juicy. Well, if you threw some chocolate chips in there, maybe you got a little gooiness in there. But I digress. Let's talk football, not food. The Ticats' first bye week, says Rob on her text line. They use the time to do nothing but go on vacation. Well, not this bye week. They need to go to work. Fire and hire, or they have no chance this season. Player of the game, Cody. Great job with the sore shoulder. Rob on the text line at 905-645-3221. That's also the number to call in on the fifth quarter like Michael did. Michael, good evening.
Good evening, Rick. How are you?
I'm perplexed. How are you?
Not too great. Man, the discipline with this team is getting to me. It's bad. And you just don't see good teams do the things that the Ticats are doing. Like, you see the two penalties that Brandon Kemp took on the O-line back-to-back, you know, those really hurt the Ticats. Of course, the big one by Federico on the roughing the kicker call. Starter on the O-line, another offside call. Things like that, and also the drop passes by the offense. You know, Keandre Smith had a drop, other drop passes. And, of course, you mentioned it all throughout the broadcast, but, you know, the one first down in the second half. It just felt like when you're watching that second half, it was just like, oh man, the Ticats defense has literally been on the field for the entire second half, and they were just being worn down by William Standback and the Alouettes offense. So, oh my goodness, I don't even know what this team needs to do. Obviously, they have their struggles offensively, and I know people are calling for Condell to be fired. But one thing I honestly wonder is that I know we have Milanovic on the coaching staff, but obviously he hasn't been in Hamilton since training camp, and he's only played a minor role in the organization. Part of me wonders, would he be willing to take on the full-time role of offensive coordinator?
Well, we'd have to ask him. We haven't been able to ask him, but I would say, yeah, if he's given the opportunity, why not?
Yeah, no. And you know, if he is, like, why not? But, like, you know, part of me wonders, you know, if he hasn't been involved thus far, you know, what's holding him back? Just, you know, he's waiting for maybe a bigger role. Obviously they have him on the staff for a reason. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but, you know, if he isn't, right, like, I think you have to ride it out with Condell because there really isn't anyone out there, right? So, you know what I will say, though? I was really impressed with Taylor Powell tonight, even though it was a loss. Powell is a good young quarterback. I think he has a lot of potential. For my player of the game, I'm going to go with James Butler. I think he had a stellar game. They just need to keep feeding him the ball in the second half, and that just didn't happen. And honorable mentions to Simone Lawrence and Richard Leonard. They had good games as well, but sloppy tackling on defense, drop passes, and of course the biggest thing was the discipline, right? You can't be taking penalties all the time and undisciplined penalties that are avoidable.
All great points, Michael. Great call. Thanks for chiming in.
All right, thank you.
905-645-3221, *9900 on your cell phone to call in. Penalties, by the way, Hamilton took 11 for 98 yards. Montreal wasn't that far behind. They had 9 infractions for 95. 905-645-3221, *9900. Corey in Hamilton is called the fifth quarter. Corey, hello.
Hey, how are you?
I am befuddled. How are you?
The same, actually. Tough to be 3-5, I guess, going after this week.
Well, yeah, you know, for me, they got to win 5 out of the next 10. That's how I'm looking at it.
And again, it's just another year where we're in the same boat. We're in the mediocre East. Actually, Argos are doing way better than I hope anybody thought they would. But we're trailing behind, and maybe this is the year where 8-8 or 8-10 or 9-9 or 7-11, whatever we usually do, doesn't cut it.
Hey, listen, it's a possibility. Ottawa's right on our tails. They could win in Saskatchewan tomorrow, and then we're in dead last and en route to facing Edmonton in a couple of weeks' time. Not a good feeling.
Amazing how losing one game turns you into the bottom feeder of the league.
Well, hey, I mean, you don't show up for an entire half, at least on offense. I can't say that for the defense. They got their just desserts tonight.
Again, you've heard me week in, week out here. Okay, we don't run the ball. You look at the stats for Montreal. William Stanback touched the ball 19 times on the ground. He ran for 100-and-something yards, 2 touchdowns. Okay, we didn't run the ball even 19 times this game. Our stud, James Butler, touched the ball 9 times. We have a third-string quarterback at our helm, and we don't give it to any of our stars. Tim White, what, 2 catches? McAllister didn't touch the ball, ran it once, caught it twice. Okay, Godwin is good again. He's been our only guy that actually shows up every day. Keandre Smith, again, dropping balls all over the place, and then he's out of the game. Okay, if we're starting a third-string quarterback, you have to support him. Our O-line needs to block for a running game. Okay? We aren't out here starting anybody that has proven themselves. We're out here starting someone that is starting their first, second, third game. They've barely seen the CFL field at all in their lives. Okay? Hand it off to the guy that led the league in rushing last year. Throw it to the guy that led the league in receiving last year. We've got those guys. This is a joke. I don't care if it's play calling. I don't care if I'm the guy that's sitting here on the East Mountain saying this should be done, that should be done. Okay? This isn't rocket science. This is football. It's a child's game. We have two of the best players in the game, and we don't even use them. And I'd hate to say it. It doesn't take anybody to realize it.
Can't argue with any of those points, Corey. I'm glad that you called in to share your thoughts.
Okay, last couple weeks, I've been calling out the defense. Defense, we can ride their coattails all the way to the playoffs, especially in the East. And I know I've called out Simone, but credit is due. He had a great game tonight. And maybe he listens to this stuff. I don't know. I'm guessing he does. So if Simone is listening, I want him to know this is the Simone we need. Okay, we don't need the guy that kind of fills in. We don't need the guy that dances and chirps the other players. We need the guy that was tonight, 11 tackles, forced fumble, pass knockdown, showing everybody else how to lead the team. There's a difference between what we were doing and what we need to do. And I'd hate to say it, it seems to come around this time every year, a couple weeks before Labor Day. We've got Edmonton, we've got BC, that's a little bit banged up. You know, maybe we get them without Vernon Adams. Maybe we get them without Dane Evans. Okay, but we need a couple wins here before Labor Day, because if we can go into Labor Day against Toronto and maybe we still have 4 wins, okay, we can still have a chance to run the table or talk about getting in the playoffs with either a home playoff spot or at least talking about maybe even winning the division, because nobody knows how it's going to go from here on out.
You're right. If you get in, anything can happen. It's just they got to get in. Corey, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks for the call tonight.
Thanks, Rick.
That is Corey, and we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to come back. Actually, the show's not over. It should be over, but it's not, because we still have Karen on the line. We still have Sue on the line. We're going to get to both of them when we come back here on the Fifth Quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
We're talking Ticats football. This is the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Caleb Evans in at quarterback, under center, dives. He's in the end zone. So the Alouettes punch it in immediately, and they have their first lead in a long time.
Well, and they did not let up after that. 27-14 the final, Montreal beating Hamilton. at Tim Hortons Fields to improve to 4-3. The Cats falling to 3-5. And now potentially could be in last place if Ottawa beats the Rough Riders in Saskatchewan tomorrow night. Could be a big if, but it could also be a reality as well. Rick Samprin with you. It's the fifth quarter brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML. We're going into overtime here. Usually the show is 1 hour, but I could not in good conscience, with Sue and Karen waiting on the line, end the show and have them not offer their take on tonight's game. So I said, producer Tom, we're going to OT. So here we are. Sue has called into the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford. Sue, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. What is your comments on tonight's game?
Well, I've been a season ticket holder for 39 years. I've been, saw the 1972 Grey Cup. And all I guess I'm getting tired of, well, there's always next year. So tonight's game, the first half, as everybody said, was really good. Something happened in the second half. Montreal defense was getting to our quarterback, knew all the plays that he was doing. Hats off to the defense, and Hamilton has always been known to have a good defense. I mean, they're always out there playing hard. It just seems the offense, they've got the same old plays all the time. They run the ball the they run the ball, then they throw it, then they don't, then we kick. Run, throw, kick. I'm very disappointed. Like I said, I've been going with my friend for 39 years, and I feel bad for the guys. I feel bad for all the fans. I mean, Hamiltonians and all the people that come. I'm right now living in Brantford, and I drive down, and I work hard for my money, and I love going to, see my friend at the game. I love the people around, as part of a family. I mean, Tiger Cat fans have become part of my family. I see people in the stands, the lady was pregnant. She's now had her child. And now that girl is probably in her late 20s. So you have all that history. But every year, it's like, oh, well, there's always next year.
And you,
if I was supposed to be, the savior, but now he's off injured. And all I got to do is say, Powell is my favorite for this game because he's a young guy, comes in. Basically, it's his second game leading the Tiger Cats. And in the first half, he did really well. He just needs more time. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of time.
Sue, who's your player of the game tonight?
It would be Powell. Yeah. I he comes in. Like I said, he's a young quarterback. He hasn't really had a lot of play time, but I really think he is going to be one of our stars going in the future. And I just hope that they keep him. They don't trade him off. And I really think that we need to get a new offensive coach. the head coach, I don't know. I've been watching a thing on Netflix. It's called Quarterback.
Yes.
Those quarterbacks, they take a lot of hits. But there's one guy, I guess it's Marone. Marone, I think I got his name. He is so pumped up with his team. And I think that's what we need. We need a quarterback in there that pumps up the team. They got a bye week coming up. They shouldn't get any time off. They should be out there tomorrow hitting, practicing again. No time off. You guys aren't doing the job. Get back out there and play. I mean, I'd love to go into their dressing room at the beginning of a game and say, look at me. I could be your grandma.
You should give them a pep talk the next time they go out to face the Edmonton Elks in a couple weeks' time. Sue, appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Great call by Sue. Karen is going to have the last word, I believe, on the fifth quarter. Karen, thanks for calling in.
Hi, Rick. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
So-so.
Yeah.
It was the tale of two halves, and thanks for no pressure making me the last call.
Well, hey, someone can still call in.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it was the tale of two halves. We just get out-coached, out-adjusted at the half. I don't know what's going on in the locker room, but whatever it is they're doing isn't working. And people calling for change, well, coaching changes never seem to work out very well when you do it mid-season. It's something they can review and deal with at the end of the season. I mean, sure, Milanovic is being paid to be our consultant. Maybe he needs to actively consult with Tommy or Coach O or somebody to maybe help turn us around. And the other thing I was tossing around, if we had won and Ottawa wins tomorrow, there is in all likelihood a chance that for the first time in history, an Eastern team crosses over to the West.
Very, very true. And it could still happen, although it's sounding a little more remote by the day.
Yeah, which is disappointing. But, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll go on a tear. Maybe the week off will do the guys good. You know, give them time to reflect and mend their bodies. Speaking of broken bodies.
Yes.
What is the status with Matt Schultz?
So I asked Coach O about Matt Schultz earlier this week, and was it earlier this week or last week? Yeah, it was earlier this week. And I made the suggestion, listen, number one, do you have a status update? And could he potentially come back in time for Labor Day? And Coach O said, well, we have a little bit of good news on Matt Schultz, because originally this seemed to be a much more serious injury than it actually is. So in terms of his progress, he's ahead of schedule. But when I said, what about Labor Day? He said, well, that's a very interesting question. Smiled, kind of scratched his head. And I took that as there could be a possibility. But then he said, it's probably going to be a little bit longer than that. So we know that Bo Levi Mitchell is not coming back for Labor Day. We know that Schultz won't be ready, obviously, for Labor Day. This is Taylor Powell's team right now. He's going to have to make some hay with what he's got.
Yeah, they don't seem... He seems to be able to make the long ball, but inaccurately, or the receivers are just... I don't know. Maybe they're not on the same page and they need to spend more time working that long ball with his receivers.
That's exactly what it is. It's all about timing, and the timing on the long ball is off right now.
Yeah.
Karen, who's your player of the game? Did you give me your player of the game?
My boy, Simi.
You had a great game.
Yes, he did.
Karen, I appreciate the call. Enjoy the rest of the long weekend.
You too, Rick. Have a good one.
Thank you very much. That is Karen. We have empty lines. If you want to be the last caller, you got to call in now at 905-645-3221. If not, hey, continue to listen as I read some commentary from email and CHML's Facebook page. Email from Alan. Hey, Rick, it's Alan from St. Catharines. Good night out for a good game, but we should have won this game. The team was fired up and the fans were also fired up. I thought the defense played well, but started getting tired in the end. I like that Powell threw downfield more than the last game. I thought Terry Godwin had a pretty good game. Richard Leonard had an amazing game tonight. I think he gets my player of the game for me. I think Powell is slowly getting better, but he's not there yet. I would like to see some different plays on offense and even a two-quarterback system with Pipkin. Let's change it up. I would like to see them put in two running backs at times. Also, confuse the opposing defense. Kemp has got to go. He's not playing well at all. Well, we're 3-5 now, but we should beat Edmonton in 2 weeks. We need to play the full 60 minutes. Cats, period. An email from Alan. Another email to get to from Tom. You're right, this team needs a spark, but what spark? Mitchell or Schultz would be a spark, but they're not available. It's tough to blame the coach or offensive coordinator when your third-string rookie quarterback is forced to play. Other teams are in the same boat. Look what happened to the Argos offense last night when Kelly left the game. My thought, hang on, try hard, avoid dumb penalties, and wait for the quarterbacks to get healthy. It's a long season. Tom in Guelph. Another email. This one is from Robert, who says, this team is poorly coached and lacks discipline. Too predictable. Many first down plays to Butler. Too many costly penalties. Very disappointing second half performance. Player of the game, nobody. Time for a shakeup of the guys on the sideline and in the booth. That email again from Robert. Let's get into some fifth quarter awards. Big play of the game on the fifth quarter brought to you by Eastgate Ford. It is going to go with the Simone Lawrence sack and the Trey Crawford fumble recovery, which only amounted to 3 points in the end, but still a big play. Player of the game voted by you, the fans, James Butler. He had a fine night tonight, running and catching the football, but in a loss. And finally, our fifth quarter fan of the night. And I'm going to go to a text I got from Karina, who says, "Hi, Rick, my player of the game is Sue, the caller, a season ticket holder for 39 years. Bless her. Best call you had tonight." Karina with a text. Sue is our fifth quarter fan of the night. How about that? For producer Tom McKay, my name's Rick Samford. Enjoy the night from all of us here on 900 CHML.
Where Ticats fans come together, win or lose. Listen after every game to the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
The Fifth Quarter Podcast is available on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm Rick Samprin. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, so you never miss an episode. And make sure you rate and review.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.